The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America.
All right, we are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on a day I'd prefer not to be doing radio, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you the honest God's truth. More BS and chaos and death, and then you can't believe that the people that are supposed to be there as our protectors. Dennis, I understand what you're saying, and I've used that exact term, and I've cautioned people, always be aware of where you're at, situational awareness. It could literally save your life. You don't have to be a paranoid individual. I mean, it's just, it has become second nature to me to understand where I'm at, what is going on, who is there. And I'm always, I guess, subconsciously prepared. Now, you've been trained for this.
I also do a lot of traveling by myself, John. And, you know, I've been in some tight spots, you know.
Right.
You know, where, you know, you've got that gut feeling. It tells you when to get the heck out.
Fight or flight.
You know?
Yep, fight or flight. No, I'm with you there. And what I saw, and let me bring up Michael Herzog. Go ahead and plug Michael in there, Mike.
Now, Johnny, take a deep breath and repeat after me. Kus Fraba.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, Anger Management. How you doing, Ron McDonald?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Dennis. Continue. I'm listening.
Michael Herzog, it's a pleasure to hear you. I've enjoyed your show also.
Thank you.
You know, this whole thing, they're spinning this whole situation here with the mainstream media. They're playing, as they call, the big Wurlitzer, you know. And we also know that there is infiltration in the news media with the powers that be to spin these things. So I'm just going to wait to see where it does settles on all of this.
Yeah.
And then make most of my comments to people that I know. But until then, well, let's put it this way. I worked a pile at Ground Zero, okay? And I was down there, and Christy Whitman, who was a one-time governor of New Jersey, told us it was safe to go down there.
Yeah.
I've got friends of mine. One just passed away on Tuesday last week from 9/11 illness, and you know, and I may be on borrowed time myself, along with many others. I'm not alone. There's many people. There's an army of us out there, and we're looking at how the government lied to us.
Yeah,
and we're looking at, there's not much you can trust in anymore. But I am about the same age as this guy that did this shooting, supposedly. Okay. And this amazing thing is that all the conflicting stories that are coming out, well, let's wait and see what they're going to spin, and then we'll take it step by step.
You know what? One thing I did notice, Dennis, and there were numerous reports, and I'd seen it with the on-scene people that had their iPhones recording, and they posted on social media. What I did see is I saw ordinary run-of-the-mill people that were in attendance at that festival, gerrymandering and getting up security and pulling up security fences and using those as stretchers to get wounded and the dead the hell out of there.
There was a good response on the people to help each other, that which I noticed there is people are good deep down inside.
Yes, sir, they are.
And they do respond, and I've seen that personally. It's a wonderful thing. It fills your heart with gladness.
Yeah, and but what I was going to say in furtherance to this, Dennis, I also saw the pictures of the ambulances sitting there with their doors open, cops just lollygagging around. I don't know what they were waiting for, but what I didn't see was an active part of the supposed first responders on the ground helping and assisting. A lot of people, the 518, were actually transported to medical facilities by private individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and here's another thing that smacks kind of we're going back to Connecticut and what happened up there at the school, you know. I've been up in that neighborhood, and I've talked to somebody who had a business right next to the school, who was a Second Amendment supporter. And he's towards the end of his life, and just the things that he was relaying to me. But he was afraid to talk about certain things. There's a lot going on here, John. That most of us are looking now at this stage in our life that we're saying, wow, it's really getting bad.
And
I keep telling people, be on your guard. Things are really getting bad, and it just seems to get worse and worse. But as long as we can stay aware and we have safeguards and we do our prepping, which is now cool, we can take care of our loved ones. Yeah. I have a place all set up for my loved ones. I tell my mother this. She's 98 years old, for God's sakes, you know. And that's what I wind up. I'm looking forward to that. At least I'll be able to do something for them.
Well, and Dennis, the mission of what I spoke of, and I've really looked at this as a kind of a, not necessarily a love of my country, which I certainly have. I don't disrespect the flag, although I know what that flag has come to represent to millions of people around the world, and it's not good. You know, and I'm looking at chaos and people trying to take sides, and they're getting real tribal, and they're jumping on this bandwagon or that bandwagon. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you know, I think people, everybody just needs to take a break. I just wish for 1 week the medias would just shut down, the politicians would shut up, everybody just shut up and leave it go for 7 days. 7 days.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with that right there. Let's wait for the dust to settle.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dennis, I appreciate your call. I appreciate what you've tried to do, and I further really do appreciate.
And John.
Yes.
Next time you have Gerald Celente on.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We share a lot of things, Gerald and I. But ask him what a wedge is, okay?
Okay.
All right, John. God bless. And hang in there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call.
I've been there too, John. Bye-bye now.
All right. Okay.
Ah. Shall I speak or shall you?
Well, first of all, I have to explain why you were laughing.
Oh, I'm just – this is a great show, and you said you didn't even want to be broadcasting, and I'm sure Ronald's back here scratching his head going, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, if I might interject, I know you've got callers on the line, and I want to hear these guys, okay, because I love your show. You know that. But, you know, the whole story has changed throughout the course of the day, John, because I've been following it. And, you know, originally it was 9 guns, then it was 10 guns, now it's 19 guns. I don't know whether you knew that or not. But I don't mean to speculate here, but I want to just throw something out for both of you guys. Ron, and I want you to give me your input as well. You know, look, okay, here's this guy who's been there since Thursday. Here's a guy that doesn't fit the profile, the narrative at all. 56-year-old retired accountant that likes to gamble. Big deal. 60, I used to like
64.
Oh, I'm 64. Sorry. 64. Okay. All right. Yeah. So here's a guy that likes to gamble. You know, maybe he's had his problems. But it doesn't really have an arrest record of any significance
nope.
at all.
Nope.
Okay. So just let me speculate. I spent in my former life, John, as you know, all right, I used to spend a lot of time in Caesar's Palace and in a number of these casinos. And I'm telling you, their security is just second to none. And I'm thinking, you know what? This guy, I believe, and I agree with Rivero because I was listening to Mike today, I believe this guy was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because I believe what happened is somebody came up and knocked on his door with one of those carts going, room service, and he opened the door, and they came in and killed him. And I'll tell you why. Because the first report I heard about the police is when they finally busted the door in, they shot him. Then later on, the second report came out that said he was dead when they entered into it. I believe what happened, John, is that whoever was going to be pulling this off went in there, knocked on the door, his room service, went in and set this whole thing up. And by the way, I want to make sure this is clear. And I did a report. As you know, I did a show on the Pulse nightclub. This one was real. I watched a couple of the witnesses. They weren't crisis actors. This one was real.
Right.
Okay. But I also believe I know why they did it and who's behind it. Now, I'm not going to get into this today, but I'm going to talk to you off the air, John, and I'm going to share with you a whole lot of other research that I've had to do in my off time that will really blow your mind about our current president. With that, I'll recede. You can go ahead and take your callers, and I'll say hello again to Ron. Thank you for being on the air, Ron. I love to hear you not talk.
Okay. Well, you know, I have kind of in agreement with you. It's just illogical that a retired person who's getting, I would have to presume, Social Security in retirement and has his hobby as gambling would just go off huckety-buck and start killing people.
You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Who directed that damn thing?
Which one?
Hold on a second.
The Manchurian Candidate?
Hold on a second. What, Michael? It's Quentin Tarantino. I don't know if you guys have seen a movie called Smoking Aces.
No, I haven't.
Sounds familiar.
Well, and this was a setting in Las Vegas where people... I'm sorry? Joe Carnahan directed the movie. Smoking Aces, at any rate. Weapons, people using hotel rooms in Las Vegas as shooting platforms. But Michael Herzog, you know, and with the scenario, what you said, I can't believe that because I don't know. There's not enough supporting evidence.
I can because I've spent enough time in those casinos to know. And you, I had heard you earlier.
Hold on. I've heard you make that statement. I've also checked into hotels. They never check any of your baggage. The security is tight there because of cheaters. And they don't trust their own damn employees. That's what most of the security. It's not from outside threat. It's for internal use, watching the people handling the money, whether they be gamblers or people that are handling the money in.
I don't disagree with you, John.
Yeah, but
I don't disagree. This guy had an arsenal in there, and it depends on which mainstream fake news station you listen to, whether it's 9, 10, 19, whatever it is, plus 1,000 plus rounds. How many rounds does it take, John, with an automatic weapon to kill 59 people now, not 58,
59.
And injure 518? Yeah. How many rounds does that take?
A lot of rounds.
Exactly. And so how much weight is that? Not including the 19 guns that this guy shuffled in, according to the latest I think it was MSNBC, maybe it was CNN, I don't know, one of the fake news stations, I don't know. But you know, how much weight is that?
Enough. But again, the security is not what you're bringing into that place. Because over a four-day period, you heard me, I could disassemble a Sherman tank, haul the damn thing up in my room, and probably put the thing together and start firing out of one of the hotel windows, and the security is not there to watch.
No, I'll just fall back on the fact, John, that from what I've opened up on this guy just doesn't
fit your narrative. I got you. That's what's got a lot of people scratching their heads going, wait a minute, 64-year-old retiree, his girlfriend was contacted by phone by the FBI. I guess she wasn't even in country the last I heard. She is a person of interest on the ongoing investigation, but they don't believe that she was involved in this. Well, how could she be if she was out of country, right? But, you know, here's the problem I have with Mike. Who the hell do we believe?
Well, I know who I wouldn't believe, John.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So,
yeah, and I've been watching them change their story all throughout the day. You and Mike Rivera are the only consistent ones I've heard. So, you know, what can you say to that? And Ron McDonald, which I heard a little bit, you know. But other than that, you know, let's do me a favor. Answer some of your calls. I want to hear these people.
Okay, well, let me go to Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've never been to Las Vegas. Been through Reno a couple times, going out to Marine Corps mountain warfare training out in the Sierra Nevadas. But I used to carry. I used to be required as part of my job to carry thousands of rounds of ammo all day long, up and down mountains, out in the deserts, and everywhere else. So
right.
I have a little bit of experience with that.
Right.
But I think what's so depressing, John, back to what you were saying about a half hour ago, is there's so little integrity anywhere you look, and nothing is easy. Everybody does everything half, you know, aced. But I had a question for you. I know you have this Officer Martinez, who is one of your hosts on your show, on your Saturday lineup.
Yeah, talked to him earlier today.
Yeah, I heard you mention that.
Yeah.
And I know I've listened to him several times, and he was a police officer on the Las Vegas Police Department.
He was a Gold Shield. He was a detective on the LVPD.
And he had been there for like 30 years or whatever it was.
Yes.
But, I mean, he basically conveyed to me, and just in, you know, the times I've listened to him, that agency has zero integrity. I mean, that's run by criminals. So, again, we can't rely on any information coming out of there.
And that's part of the problem, Frank. That's what I was trying to relay to people. So you're prior military special forces?
No, I was just, was a corporal, but before that I was, a team leader. I did carry a light machine gun for a couple of years.
Oh.
It was 5.56, not 308.
Right.
It was M249 saw, but yeah, they used to load us up. I mean, I was like 170 pounds back then. I'm like probably 250 now. Muscular, but back then, yeah, I mean, you couldn't stand in one place for more than like 5 seconds, or your feet would go numb just from the weight of all the gear, you know, you were carrying. But,
yeah, when we were,
yeah, but I don't
when
think
we were,
I could walk into a casino.
When yeah, well, and I'm with you here, Frank, because there to me, any standards have been thrown out the window. The difference between right and wrong has been thrown out the window. The standard of which people knew, okay, here's the bar. This is what we're supposed to meet. You may not ever get there, but at least you got to keep striving to attain that standard. That is all gone.
And what's the example that the kids have to look up to today? I mean, you know, at least back in the Leave It to Beaver days, at least they had something to look up to. It might have been kind of an illusion. But at least there was some illusion of something to look up to. Nowadays, what do they have to look up to? I mean,
the shooting came from the lights behind the stage.
Wait a minute, Mike. You know your mic's open, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, John. My son came over to knock on the door here. He heard me on the air, and he went in and tuned us in. And he just came in with a report. He's got. He just showed me a clip from the Daily Mail. Pull that up again, Mike. There's a quote from a girl saying, "They're all around. You're going to die." Mystery woman kicked out of the Vegas Country Music Festival after shouting a terrifying threat just an hour before the gunman opened fire. And he just showed me a photo of the shooter, which wasn't in the building at all of Mandalay Bay. The shooter was coming from behind the lights of the stage. And he showed me a photo of it.
Okay. Can you send that over to us?
Can you send that over to RBN, Mike?
Yeah, if they
want to
watch the video of it.
He's got a video of it. You want to watch it? Okay.
Yeah, tell him to send it over to mike@republicbroadcasting.org.
Here you go, Mike. mike@republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, let me take this quick break here. Frank, hang on a second. George, Miles, Joel, don't go anywhere. We'll get to your calls. We'll be back.
We'll be right back. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
We are back. Before we go any further here, Frank, hang on one second. Michael Herzog, you still there?
I'm still here, buddy.
You spent some time in here before you booked for Indiana.
Yep.
And you had some good plans. Oh, the plans of mice and men.
Which was deflated by, which could be, as if you're a conspiracy theorist, the government, with two hurricanes that hit both places I was going to target. But go ahead.
Well, and people were not aware of what you were doing and how you were going to do it. But at any rate, your son that you were just talking to kind of off air there, it was his gig. And this was a for real thing. And the guy's making money hand over fist.
Yes.
So you went up there to set up a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And make tons of money, and you were going to open up your wallet and your heart to this
network
and fund the network.
And I was going to absolutely fund this network, and so you didn't have to continue to do what you do. And I want to put forth to listening audience that here's this commercial once an hour, every hour, as long as RBN's on the air every day since May, put out by Michael Rivero. But I wrote that commercial, and I wrote it from the heart, folks. And I'm telling you that more now than ever, RBN needs your support. Now, the reason that I took off on this trek, John, you know, the audience doesn't know, but you know the reason I took off on this trek is because None of us like to ask for money. None of us like to ask for, especially you, John. And Ron, every Monday, bless your heart, you're on there saying, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? And the reason that I elected to opt out of the network and do what I'm trying to do right now is for RBN. Now, that is off the burner for the time being, but it's still in the works. We can't do it right now because of two hurricanes that hit in this and the two areas that we were going to target. That's all I can go into right now.
Right.
Because I can't disclose what we were going to do for the sake that there would be a multitude of people out there in that industry that would be trying to copy it. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I'm going to ask the listening audience, please trust me in this. Believe in me. Because the reason that you're not hearing me live every day is because I'm on the back end trying to keep this business afloat because the donations haven't been coming in. So I'm asking everybody out there to please step up to the plate, open up your wallets and open up your heart and send some money to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive. Correct me if I'm wrong because this is by memory, John. Suite number, what is it, 301?
302.
302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I mean this emphatically, folks, because once this switch is flipped, once we've got this up and running, and once this hurricane problem has been corrected, John's never going to have to do this again. I mean that. I mean that from my heart, just like I meant that commercial that I wrote from the heart. And, John, did you get the commercial that I sent you the other day?
Yes, I did, and I appreciate that. And I didn't even know what to tell people. Here you came back to the network, you're doing a show, and obviously people enjoy your show. They're even commenting when they hear you on with me that they miss you. They loved your show. And here you were back, and then you were gone. And I really couldn't adequately explain to the listeners without compromising you know, the cutthroat competition out there, and you couldn't divulge much, and I couldn't say much on air.
Well, I'll tell you this, John, and let me just add this so the audience understands it. This flies in the face. This obviously will support a network to the degree that you folks will never have to do it again, okay? When it's up and running, you folks, we'll never have to ask you for money again.
Well, what people don't understand about you, Michael, you used to get pissed off at me. Because you've come in and out of my life, this network. You've done a show before. You came back. You were doing a show. Then you're off again on this new venture. And people never really understood, you know, well, where's Michael now? Is he gone? Is he coming back? Or whatever the case may be. And you and I had in-depth discussion about this network. You've been here the last time. And you and I sat down and talked. You saw the operation here. By the way, the problems you saw when you were here, they're no longer a problem here. And you were always concerned about the network and, more importantly, about the funding of the network. You know, I've been carrying this cross for quite some time. And here we are, the 2nd of October, and I'm 3 months down here on all the bills on the network. I was serious about this, you know, for the first time, Michael, in 3 years. And I never let the audience know this because, quite frankly, this is more of a personal thing. But, you know, you've had conversation with me. You knew what my mindset was. And it was a struggle just for me to come into this place to do a show, let alone run a network. And on top of this, I'm carrying the financial cross, which is crushing me. Mm-hmm. And yet we still have people out there that will refuse. They'll sit here every day and listen to this network, but they'll refuse to donate.
Oh, I know better than anybody because I have to, and, you know, whether you like it or not, John, I'm going to tell the listening audience, I witnessed firsthand in living in your residence the stress that you're under by the day, which is part of the reason why I opted to do what I'm doing right now, okay? And like I say, it's been put on hold to circumstances out of my control. If you want to be a conspiracy theorist, okay, the government, you know, controlled the hurricanes and wiped out wherever it was we were going to target.
Yeah.
But you know, if you want to just say, okay, God did it, okay, well, God's mad at me then. I don't know, you know. But the bottom line is that my vision was one or the other. I could be on the air and do the same thing you do on a daily basis, which is ask for donations, or I could go out and try to eliminate it for everybody, which is what I opted to do.
Well, and all things being equal, Michael, sorry, Frank, I hope you're still there. Hang on. And on top of all this, the network would have been fine. We had the little strip down by our friend down there in Austin, good CIA, FBI mouthpiece that he is. And then we had this little banking crisis that happened in 2008. And everything has been little crap since then. Here we are in 2017. And we've really not had anybody in Washington, D.C. that has the guts to step forward and say, excuse me, I think I know how we can solve this problem. Ron McDonald, you know the answer to that question.
Yes.
And so do I, and so do you, yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
And here we sit. You know, I'm just... Frank, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you for holding through all of that. I am in complete agreement with you. The people that want to be okay or the people that want to be good, for some reason they're not standing. They're not being real Americans, or when they are, they're mouthing the words of some tribal chief that says, jump on my bandwagon. We're witnessing this right now with a organization headed up by one Mr. Goodell that would fine NFL players for wearing the wrong kind of shoes on a field. But yet we have the shenanigans with the kneeling and the linking of the arms and the this, the that, and the other, that somehow the black people were being oppressed and 70% of the people in the NFL are black and they're millionaires. Now, something has got lost in translation, but I'll tell you what is translating. People are voting with their pocketbook right now. The attendance to the games are down some 13-14% over last year. And that's taking into consideration the economy. You can't even get a nosebleed seat hardly anymore for less than $100. You've got viewership that is down 11% over last year. The one escape that a lot of people had that didn't have a political agenda, they weren't left, they weren't right, or they weren't this, or they weren't that, just wanted to take 3 hours out of their day to go and be with a bunch of people and root for the same thing. Some kind of solidarity or something, that whatever that makes them feel. But they're even scrapping that. Now the advertisers are coming up and going, we don't know if we're going to be doing these big promotions. We don't know if we should pull our advertising from you. You know, and Frank, I'm looking at this. Everybody has lost their freaking mind. But here's the thing. The right narratives are not being put across to the American people. The right questions are not being asked. The ones that know the truth are not speaking the truth. The adult conversations that we should be having are not being said. We're all dancing around, and I'm sick of it.
It's your turn, Frank.
Yeah, there was an interesting call to Mike Rivero's show today. Now, you know, it's interesting. The guy sounded as legit as anybody else. I don't know the guy. He could have been making it up, but he told Mike Rivero in the audience that his brother lives in Las Vegas, so of course he called his brother in Las Vegas today just to see, you know, hey, what do you think? And he said, well, you know, I got a friend, you know, a female friend who knows this guy, Stephen Paddock, and he's not the type that would, you know, she just can't believe he would do anything like this. Now, he is a liberal. We do talk politics. And he was a Hillary Clinton supporter, but other than that, she didn't think that he would be involved in this. So, anyway, I thought that was an interesting, little call. So,
all right.
I'll make way.
All right. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. Folks, you can do us a big favor today until we get something plugged into this network. And you're right, Mike. I hate, of all the things that I've got to do, the one thing that I hate the most is getting on this network and asking people for funds.
Oh, I know. I know, and we've had those conversations, John. And, you know, we've actually got into it with TJ about this because, you know, it's the last thing in the world that any of us want to do is to do that. But as the commercial says that I wrote from my heart, is that we have no other alternative. The truth itself is being attacked. This is a war. We are in war with these people. It hasn't come to bullets yet. Okay, but we're in war with these people, and it's a war for people's minds. And if you don't just ante up, okay, then the actual truth, the real truth of what's going on, which you're only going to find at RBN, and I mean that emphatically because I listened to Jones today. You're not getting the whole truth. You're getting part of it, okay, but you're not getting all of it. The only way you're going to do that is to keep us up and running. And I say us because I feel like I'm a part of RBN even though I'm not there right now. But anyway.
Well, and I'll give you an example of that. And then I got to keep moving here because we got loaded phones. But you know who Ron Neal is of the $1 DVD project?
Well, I don't, but go ahead.
Okay. By the way, that's ending up on microphone there.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has to switch from YouTube with all the presentations and all the YouTubes this guy has done. Anybody that knows Ron Neal from the DVD project know of what I speak. He's got to move this damn thing because Facebook shut him. I'm sorry. YouTube shut him down. His email to me yesterday, he says, I will start all over and use Daily Motion. He said, there are some subjects which are not allowed to be shared on YouTube. Facebook shut me down for 3 days over the same issues. The Zionist tribe controls these two platforms and does not like certain revelations being spread. So he says it really does not take much research to conclude that I'm a Mossad and the CIA did 9/11, but he's not allowed on YouTube anymore.
Oh, let me just give you an amen and explanation point to that with what I told you earlier, John, is what I've uncovered here just over the past couple of days, along with what my son just came over and brought to me. You know, you and I are going to have to get up on the air and share this with the public about what I have just uncovered. And by the way, speaking of YouTube, it's interesting that when I typed it in yesterday, when I had a little time to do some research, nothing as to what I usually look at came up. It was all this fluff and filth and just junk. I had to literally go digging for it. They're burying it. They're burying it with the analytics. They're burying it with the algorithms. They're burying it with – unless you know what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. I just heard something hit my building here.
No, anyway, that was me banging on the window.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I thought it was somebody banging on my door. So anyway. Yes. So there you go. Anyway take your callers, John. I don't want to take up more airtime.
George in Texas. Hello, George. You there?
Hey,
go ahead,
John.
Good.
You know, the thing is about that guy bringing up all them rifles, like you said, you could put an M1 Abrams up in that room. You could sneak it in. But I just think how he probably snuck them rifles in, he could probably just say, I'm going out for a round of golf. You could break down them rifles and put them right in the golf bag.
Well,
very easy.
And there are more stories coming out. There's a cell phone video, and they were saying that flashes were coming from the fourth floor. And Michael says that there's now a report that shots were coming from behind the stage. I don't know if that's the case. I watched the video. If I'm performing on stage and the amplifiers are pointed toward the audience and there's fire coming from behind me, I wouldn't be up there singing bars to a song once that shooting started. I would have been out of there. I don't...
No, John, we must analyze this. All of us. I'm not just talking about you and me or Ron McDonald. I'm talking about the listening audience as well.
Right.
We have to analyze and look for the truth in this because we're not getting it from the mainstream media.
That's the truth. I can guarantee you that. Okay, well, George, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Let me go to Joel in Wisconsin. Thanks for holding, Joel.
Yeah. Hello, Ron and John. Okay, Herzog, too. I would just like to remind everybody that the last big massacre we had was Sandy Hook, one of them, and the things that people believed the day after Sandy Hook, they chances are they don't believe anymore this many years later, so... We know we're not getting the truth. We can't. It's pretty hard to piece anything together when you're getting all the information from liars, and so it's all up in the air.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Joel, do me a favor, do me an update before I call somebody by the wrong name. Update my screen, please. Thank you. I was talking to Gordon Martinez. Now, cops are like bloodhounds, detectives. You're either good at your job or you're not. Gordon Martinez is very good at his job. Happened to be in a very corrupt police agency and tried to do something about it when he was out in Las Vegas. He and I were talking earlier today, and we talked about this nightclub shooting down in Florida. And he was like myself, after seeing this little operation, it couldn't have been anything but a false flag.
Right. That's
I mean,
a pattern.
And here again, it's a natural it's a natural tendency here when something like this happens that we look for other than the official explanation because we're lied to on a regular basis. Even when confronted with the truth, there's denial or just deflection, and they just move on. There's no redress anymore. There's no demanding of the truth because how can you demand accountability? How can you demand a standard or the truth from somebody when they're a born habitual frickin' liar?
Right. Especially in Las Vegas. Isn't the mob the ones that started Las Vegas?
Well, it wasn't the mob. Unless... Herzog, what was the guy that built
Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel?
Yeah, yeah. Those aren't Italian names, are they?
No.
Yeah. So
all right, I'll let somebody else on.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks for your call. Francis, North Carolina.
Hey, fellas. Sound like you got your round table deal there going.
Yay.
Oh, boy. You know, this whole scenario about what happened in Vegas causes me to think of one thing. It gives me whole new meaning to two words, room service or maid housekeeping, as well as the proverbial sign that says, do not disturb.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Be it that someone smuggles in who knows what into their room for and is there for a given number of days, and yet, let's just say that they decide to go to the front desk repeatedly at some point in time during the course of the day to ask for linens or whatever have you, towels and so forth. Would that not make the front desk wonder what's going on or question for how many days the person is there?
Well, and here again, we've got a lot of speculation with very little information.
Well, that was just simply a question that makes me ponder.
No. Hey, look, Francis, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm looking over information. I'm hearing the conversations. I'm listening to other people speak. I'm listening to the officialdom. And none of this mm-hmm. is making any sense. None of it.
Okay? Maybe that's the whole idea.
Could be.
It's not supposed to make sense.
Could be. But I'll tell you what people are feeling right now. They're feeling disassociated. They're feeling less empowered. They're feeling more vulnerable. And they're feeling more afraid. And I think that's the total mission here is to put people in absolute frozen stasis.
Well, the everyday person? Yeah, for most people that would probably happen and are mentally conditioned to start with. But for people who are awake, that's a different story.
What? But amen. We have questions, but based on what fact? We have to... You know, Michael, I sometimes get this mental picture of you and I next to this stream that only comes after a rainfall in the desert southwest. And we've got a pan like crazy. The water's rushing, it's muddy, there's crap coming down, and we're looking for a few lousy nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to go through tons of crap.
Yeah, but Francis does have a point, something to speculate on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, John, we've already talked about that. Okay. Yes, we're looking to get to the truth, and Francis is an RBN listener looking to get to the truth, just like all of us are.
Yeah.
The only thing we do know for a concrete fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron McDonald, is that what we're getting mainstream isn't the truth. Go ahead.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, I'll put it this way: if anybody has two brain cells to rub together that is still watching and observing mainstream media, they get what they deserve. I hate to say that, but it's the blooming, honest truth.
Well, and you know, I've heard, Francis, I've heard that before, and that's always bothered me, that we are getting, if you'll let me speak, I'll tell you.
My bad.
Go ahead, John, take a deep breath.
Thank you.
You're all.
Now I forgot what the hell I was going to say. Francis, thanks for your call. Tom in Philadelphia, you're up next.
Hey there, guys. Hello, Ron. Nobody's saying hi to you, but you're hiding in the background.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Michael, the Pulse shooting was real. John, if you want confirmation, more information on that, I can give you firsthand information. I have spent, now you guys are touching into my bailiwick. I've spent 10, 15, 17 days in a row in the casino hotels and suites and never once let a maid or anybody in. I ask them, you know, you don't go to the front desk. You catch the maid in the hallway. You give her $5. She gives you a handful of towels. You give her leave the old ones outside your door. You put a do not disturb on.
Yep.
But Tom, that's only if you're losing. Okay. You must have been losing.
No. Yeah. No. But anyway, and I've carried all kinds of equipment up into the rooms, and nobody ever even looked at me sideways.
Thank you, Tom.
The only thing they want to make sure is that you're not bringing alcohol up. There's a couple of casinos like Harrah's in Atlantic City. You're not allowed to bring coolers or
right. Because they want you using the mini bar or go downstairs and get half drunk and go gamble what money you have left. And I was essentially correct, Tom, was saying that security at these hotels is not set up from something coming from the outside in. They're there to watch the patrons. They're there to watch their own employees over theft. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Most, at least last time I knew, most of the security officers in the Vegas casinos are sworn deputies.
Yep.
They're all gun-carrying, gunslingers. But, yeah, I mean, you know, to tell you how easy it is, some kind of thing. It was a 6-foot Betty Boop stand-up cardboard character that I literally picked up and walked out of the casino with, and nobody even blinked or saw me.
And they're not worried about what you're carrying out because they're sitting there with their cameras, the eye in the sky. They're sitting there and they're watching the dealers. They're watching for cheaters. They're watching people that bring their system in of communicating and telling other people of what other people have cards in their hands. It's almost a black art unto itself. But that is the major concern, and that's the major focus of internal security in any one of these damn hotels.
Oh, John, you can walk out with Betty Boop or whatever you want, but as long as you don't walk out with their money, they don't care.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, they're not even. I've been up in the surveillance rooms, and there's so many cameras to watch. It's ridiculous. And as far as electronic surveillance, I think I told you that we used to use a computer in the casino that would predict where the ball would fall on a roulette wheel, and we were doing 120% advantage.
Can I interject something here, Tom? Okay, with all this surveillance that we all know that they have, are any of us ever going to see any surveillance of this particular gentleman that is the alleged shooter?
I mean, it's a private corporation. You know, I don't know if FOIA is going to work against that. And the state, you know, the police and FBI are all going to confiscate copies. It's not like it's a videotape. All the casinos now are digital, so they can just burn it to a stick, burn it to a DVD. You can't give them the DVR or the NVR out of the rack,
Tom,
and say, here it is.
Tom,
you know?
don't they also have the video cameras now in the hallways of the hotels?
They got them everywhere, whether they all are monitored or not. You know, most of the surveillance room is mainly for the casino floor. It's all the tables and the cage, especially the cage. And the entries and stuff
but
a lot of the hotel rooms are separate.
No, yeah, I understand. But if you have any security cams for the perimeter or the area of the hotel itself, there's like two different missions for security. The main one is to stop the cheating and the stealing. And the other is required by insurance companies to have monitors monitoring the grounds and doorways and passages and stuff like that. So,
Well, that's a friend of mine does. He's an investigator and does that kind of stuff. I'm hoping that he's going to get a call to take a look at all this, you know, do an investigation himself because he was involved with the Pulse shooting. And I'm hoping like hell he's going to call and ask me to go with him because I'd really like
if you know these people, how come I never get to talk to them? I would have loved to have talked to an investigator that was down there at the Pulse thing in Florida.
Well, I will make that inquiry. I just don't know if it can be done or not. I don't know, you know, confidentiality garbage. You know all that.
Well, we can use a voice disguise. We don't have to give his real name, Tom. You know how the game's played.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I will make the inquiry and see, you know.
Okay.
But all unfortunately, right. he's a Hillary liberal.
Oh my God!
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah. Now, okay.
That's hard.
Here we go with the political identification. Unless, you know, if you're a Democrat and you wanted Hillary Clinton in office, does that also make you a person that enjoys murderers and liars?
No, of course not.
Well,
no,
okay,
of
then.
Course not.
So, okay, the guy might have been voting for Hillary Clinton, but that doesn't make him automatically a monster any more than from the liberal left. Did you hear what I said about the attorney out of New York? I got to get this guy's freaking name. Because he said, you know, no great loss, because most of those people out there, if they're country music listeners, they probably voted for Trump. What kind of asinine statement?
Right. Yeah. Why did this guy bring so many weapons to the room? I mean, that's almost overkill. It's almost like, hey, you know what? We really got to do something about gun control.
Yeah. Almost.
You know?
All right, Tom,
I'll make the inquiry for you.
Thank
you. I didn't forget about your laptop.
Thank you. And you know what? It's acting like real crap. So come on in and do your remote stuff. All right. Thanks. All right. Bye. Let me try to catch my breath here.
By the way, before I forget it, if I don't get another chance to segue into this, Ron McDonald, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Mike. Haven't talked to you, but it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Well, one of these days he's going to produce his book and we'll have something we can talk about.
I know. I can't wait.
I can't either. I've been waiting forever. Maybe before I die here. Well, I better not say that.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, if I were to focus on anyone, I would focus on that one woman that kind of proves that there wasn't a tight lid on this thing that said all of you are going to die. I mean, that says that it wasn't done by, I would say or presume it wasn't done by an organized group of people.
That's part of what, when my son busted into the RV here, he showed me that. And that's, you know, I'm going to pull this together tomorrow. Matter of fact, he's coming over after I get off the air, John, and sit down with this. And I'm going to send you these clips and let you review it for yourself.
Well, good. I was under the assumption. I kept checking my email here, and evidently they weren't sent.
No, I think he might have sent one to your board op.
Did you hear that, Michael? Are you checking? Thank you.
If he hasn't, he will, okay,
right.
When I get off the air, because
okay.
I'll pound on him until he does.
All right. By the way, it is now known who this woman was. Just got the story here. Brianna Hendricks. She told KSNV, that's NBC's Las Vegas affiliate, that she was attending that Route 91 Harvest Festival with her mother Sunday when a gunman opened fire from across the street in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history, blah, blah, blah. And this is what she said, that this woman that made her way toward the front of the stage said, "They're all around. You're going to effing die today." And she said that there was a lady who pushed her way forward into the concert venue, into that first row, and she stated started messing with another lady and told us we're all going to die tonight. She said none of us knew it was going to be serious. She also told KSNV that the alleged incident occurred about 45 minutes before the shooting began. The woman described by Hendricks as Hispanic, about 5'5", and a man she was with were escorted from the music festival by security. Obviously, she was telling us that either to warn us or to warn us that we were all going to die, and she was part of it. So now we have security for the venue that escorted this 5'5" Mexican lady the hell out of there with whomever. So there's a tie that they're either going to have to bury
that,
or kill.
Right. That happened an hour before the event took place. And by the way, I want to ask you a quick question before the show is over, John. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, because I heard this on the news and it devastated my daughter-in-law, that Tom Petty died. And you mentioned that, no, he didn't. They pulled him off life support. Is that true?
That is true.
Thank you.
It was L.A. I was at CBS in L.A. that reported that he died, and he didn't. I mean, you know, there's more responsible news reporting. Roxanne in Texas. We got to move quickly here, Roxanne.
Yes, sir. I did puppy dog eyes, and hubby is sending you a check for $100.
Thank you.
Tomorrow.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Well, I called into Mikey Rivero's show, and I told him about Broadcastify. It's on YouTube, and that's the police full scan. And when they were saying 419, when you hear the word 419, that means dead bodies. And the first responders, police, that weren't jumping on people, they were assessing things. And they set up coordinates all over the area. And
you mean they set up a perimeter?
Yes.
Okay.
And they shut down the strip, and they shut down the highway, they shut down everything. It's an hour and 27:03 minutes.
Okay, and Roxanne, it wasn't clear as to what exactly you're talking about. Where did you see this?
Well, this is the police scanner from Las Vegas incident.
Okay, but where did you get that information? I'm trying to get you to point to me to a... Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. You go to YouTube, and you type in Broadcastify, and you pull up full scanner.
Okay, wait a minute. Broadcastify? Roxanne, please, your connection is not that great. I am not understanding your information. What is the name again, slowly and clearly?
Okay, sorry. Broad, B-R-O-A-D. C-A-S-T-I-F-Y, Broadcastify.
Thank you.
And you have to listen to it, because they had reports of multiple shootings at Paris Casino, at the Tropicana. It was haywire. You can listen to it. It's called Broadcastify, full scanner. It's the police scanner.
Okay. All right. No, I understand what you're saying. I just couldn't understand the words that you were saying. Okay, I appreciate
that.
I
have a high-pitched, whiny voice.
That's okay, and you're on a cell phone, which doesn't help. All right, thank you, Roxanne. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And again, you know, lockdown, secure the perimeter. That Mike might tell me why there were ambulances with all the lights going and the back doors open, and nobody was in the damn thing. Cops standing around, you know how they do, put their hands on their utility belts. And they were just standing around, and evidently we had dead and dying laying around, but nobody was being transported.
Hmm, interesting.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah. I see.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, I miss that. I miss that. And again, folks, we're about out of time here. Look, we're 3 months down on every God-blessed bill in this network. Please. Donate to this network. You satellite listeners out there that are so fond of telling me, hey, I got my satellite real cheap. We still have to pay the satellite bill. I'm 3 months down on the satellite bill. Unless you don't want to hear RBN on your satellite anymore, make a donation to the network. We're trying everything we can to institute to get some way to fund this network.
We're 6 months down on being 3 months down. We've been doing this for 6 months, and we're still behind.
I mean,
seriously, come on, folks. Annie up.
Go to our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org. That's PayPal. Any credit card, you don't have to be a member of PayPal. Make a good donation. Make a good donation today. Or call the network. Mikey can wear another hat today, 800-724-2719. Hit extension 3. Make a credit card donation. For you people that don't like to be track traced or you're not on the computer, I'm almost envious of you. Here is our address, RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Drop a donation, check, money order, tinfoil, cash wrap, tinfoil, we don't care. Any way that you can do it. Michael Herzog, thanks for dropping in. Ron McDonald, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate Alrighty. Your time, John.
All right.
Thanks. See you, Ron. Talk to you later.
See you, Mike. Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.